There was the fashion designer Kate Spade. There was the chef and human rights activist Anthony Bourdain. Both people with success, with wealth, with many loving and caring friends and dear, loving and caring family. So it seemed like their lives were perfect. They had everything you could want. But it was not well with their souls. And in the same week of those two suicides, it was reported that suicide rates all around are increasing exponentially. We also know that an average of 22 U.S. war veterans die by suicide every day. Every day. With this news, with people talking and thinking about the subject, I thought that I needed to talk about it here from the point of view of the church and faith. I pray that right this minute, suicide is not a close part of your life. But based on these numbers, I would not be surprised if nearly everyone here sometime knows someone who tries to end their lives and even thinks of it themselves. Because in fact, as I've been thinking about preaching about this, almost every person I have said it to has a story, a personal story about suicide. And many have told me that at some time in their life, they thought about suicide for themselves. One person said, it was like a little evil spirit, a voice was whispering in my ear, the world would be a better place without you. End the pain. All because I had disappointed someone by something I did, and I did not want to face the consequences. But then I remembered something St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. What can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. In other words, the troubles right in front of us right now will change. Our troubles, as they are now, will change. But suicide won't. It is forever. Once it is done, it cannot be changed. Now, we know that mental illness is a very big part of what leads people to end their own life. Mental illness is at least part of 80% of suicides. And it touches everyone in all kinds of lives. It's even in a character in our scripture reading. Today, we started reading for the season the book of Samuel and the story of how David became king. And we'll be reading more of this story for many weeks through this summer. And in the story today, it says, God was sorry for having made Saul king over Israel. So Samuel was sent to anoint David in his place. In the weeks to come, in the chapters ahead in Samuel and the Kings, we will see how Saul had some kind of a mental illness. Now, if you Google what was Saul's mental illness, which I did, you see mood swings with manic depression, with bipolar disorder. And the mood swings, at one moment they feel like they're so powerful they can do anything. And then when they fall into the depression phase, they feel helpless and hopeless. And unfortunately, even with the medications, the person who moves toward manic and feels powerful says, "Oh, I don't need this." And then they crash into depression and often end their lives. I've had two parishioners over the years kill themselves with manic depression, and known others who struggled with it and tried. So here was this very first king of all Israel, King Saul, with wealth and power and success and a loving family and mental illness. Our reading today from 2 Corinthians is also one that is spoken of when people are thinking about suicide. Paul says, being with God in heaven is so wonderful. I like to be there. I like to be with God in eternity, where it will be so wonderful. But I choose to stay here in this life and help to make it more wonderful here. Sadly, unfortunately, some people have taken Paul's words and said, "I choose to leave this life now and go to that wonderful place instantly." The church, from early on, recognized that this was happening, and so began to have a strict, harsh view of suicide, saying that suicide is murder. It is taking a life. And since it is the last thing you do in this life, you can never, ever be forgiven. And you will be condemned to hell and eternal suffering and damnation. This was the official view of Christians and also of many world religions about suicide for the vast course of history. People who died by suicide could not even be buried in Christian or Jewish cemeteries. But as we have come to understand the intense, uncontrollable power of mental illness, how it is not a choice in some situations. And we know that Jesus taught of an all-loving, compassionate God who does not want anyone to suffer. The teaching of the church has changed. The church sees death by suicide as tragic, as wrong, but not unforgivable. That ultimately, we are all in God's hands. God's loving, forgiving hands. So instead, we focus on the hope and encouragement and support Jesus offers us in all our times of trial and depression. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like seeds scattered on the ground. God plants, and we do not know exactly how, but the miracle of growth can happen. Even the most unlikely seeds can turn into something wonderful. Even the person planting situation can miraculously grow into someone whose life is beautiful and meaningful. This is the first parable today. And the second parable, the second parable is ridiculous. Ridiculously fun. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, which when planted grows to a great shrub where birds nest. If you study Middle Eastern agrarian practice 2,000 years ago, you know this is ridiculous. In case you didn't, I'll remind you of why. First, mustard seeds are small, but not the smallest seeds by far. I went to my kitchen cabinet, and I have here mustard seeds and poppy seeds. The mustard seeds are gigantic next to the poppy seeds. The mustard seed is not the smallest, and Jesus knew that, and his listeners knew that, and in case you didn't know, you knew too. So first of all, it's not the smallest seed. Second, in the Holy Land, mustard plants are weeds. Nobody would choose to sow them, to intentionally plant a mustard, because they grow freely and wildly, and they take over a garden. In America, it would be kudzu. Here, in many places, it would be dandelion. You don't plant dandelions, one thing. And if you do, I'll give you some for your garden. They grow freely and wildly, and they take over a garden. And they don't get big enough for birds to nest in them. And if they did, and you were a farmer, you don't want birds nesting in the things that you then are going to want to eat. Because droppings happen. So Jesus is telling a ridiculous story. He's saying the kingdom of God, in that kingdom, even the things we reject and consider worthless have value. God loves and finds joy in people nobody else cares for. God loves and finds joy in people who feel they are worthless and not loving. This sermon could be like three sermons, so I'm just going to briefly say, what are we to do? If anyone tells you they are thinking about suicide, do not ignore them or tell them, no, you're not thinking that. Because they are. Listen to them. Ask them to say more. Find out if they really mean it or it's just a passing thought. Are you just saying that, or do you really feel that way? Do you have a plan to do this? If they say yes, your response is first to assure them that you love them and you want to offer them a hand to help. Offer them a hand. Offer to stand by them. Offer them to stand by them and ask if they have something they thought of using. And try to get them to give it to you. Weapon, pills, or such. Make an agreement with the person if they're really thinking of doing it, will they call you to support and help. Do not judge them or make them feel guilty for their thoughts. It's not about you. Don't say, oh, you would make me feel terrible if you did that. A person who's thinking of suicide is already judging themselves. They're judging themselves too harshly, and they're already feeling guilty. They don't need you to make them feel more guilty. That is a big part of depression. Instead, offer hope. Ask them, what does still give you joy? And encourage them to talk about that. What are your reasons for staying alive? And then listen. Listen to their story, to their feelings. Remember, it is not about you. So, well, when I felt bad, I did this. Doesn't usually help. Because that's telling them and bossing them around. Listen to what they say gives them joy and raise it up. I put in the church bulletin today information about where you can find more resources for help, including Community Health Service, which is a 24-hour English-speaking hotline, an anonymous hotline here in Belgium, and a website with many, many other resources. And finally, pray. Pray for that person. Ask if they want you to pray with them, and if they do, pray with them. And your words don't have to be powerful and wonderful. You don't have to get out the prayer book and find the just right words. Ask them what they want to pray for, and pray for it with them. And pray for yourself also, to have the wisdom and strength to help. But remember, no person has the power to force someone to live. If someone does kill themselves, it is not your fault. They have made that choice. Perhaps they did not make that choice in full control of themselves because of their mental condition. But it is not your fault. Do not take the guilt of the what ifs. We know God is a God of great hope, of great joy, of great peace. In the eyes of God, no one is worthless. Everyone is planted here to grow and flourish as part of the kingdom of God here and in this life. God has got the whole world in hand and can lead us on no matter how.